Good morning, everybody. It's time for the Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care Show. It's Elder Care Radio, only on News Radio 890-925-KDXU. Here's Richard and Kaylee.
It is another fabulous Wellness Wednesday, and it's exciting to be here. This is Elder Care Radio, and we are Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care, hopefully bringing you information and interesting tidbits that make your day brighter and your life better.
Interesting tidbits. We're all past the busy holiday season, and we're coming up on summer. April's a beautiful time of year. And maybe we're going to be spending time visiting family and friends this summer. We thought it would be timely to discuss some senior-related issues for those visits. It was either that or we talked about April Fool's Day pranks.
Yeah, and the only April Fool's Day prank that I think sounds pretty good is cake pops made out of Brussels sprouts.
Ew.
I know.
Ew.
Dipped in.
Would you really do that to someone?
I would do that to my grandkids
this year.
In a flash.
Yeah.
I think we're going to do it. Luckily, we doubt they're listening to this, so they'll still be surprised.
Yeah. They're all at school right now, so they won't be hearing this. But yeah.
It's been fun to grow up with you, Richard, as dad.
Yeah. We've had some fun ones over the year. How about you, Andy? Have you done any memorable?
Not really a prankster. No.
Really?
No.
How about any pulled on you?
Yeah, I remember years ago we were complaining about someone's baking, and they decided if we were going to complain, they'd give us a reason to. So they replaced the sugar with salt in brownies, and
yuck. That's
the only one that really sticks out to me. Nobody did the X-Lax thing, thank goodness.
Yeah.
Well, Richard did one to my daughter that we laugh about still to this day. She was going to college at SUU, and right before she left, he said, listen, you gotta stay hydrated. It's, you know, we forget when the weather's nice and we don't feel thirsty. So he gave her a nice big glass of lemonade, and in it had 2 tablespoons
of magnesium.
Calm magnesium.
Oh, boy.
My poor daughter, it's such a mean trick. She called me not far out of town in a panic. And I don't know if you thought about the drive between here and Cedar City, but there's really not a lot. There aren't a lot of stops, stops or places to stop.
For those who don't know, magnesium is an excellent, excellent, what's the best word for that?
Laxative?
Laxative. Yeah, it really is. It laxes incredible.
But 2 tablespoons of calm. Anybody who's ever had used calm, it does not take much. I mean, most people,
half
recommended.
A teaspoon
is usually. And you do this to your daughter.
Just for the drive home.
Isn't that just terrible? Uh-huh. She got up on the path. She called me. She said, Mom, I think I'm sick. I don't know what's happening. My stomach's going crazy. I was like, oh, no. And then Richard told me.
It doesn't take 45 minutes to take effect. But it does take 45 minutes to drive to St. George or to Cedar City from here.
Sad. It was awful. It was absolutely awful.
She made it.
She called her roommates and said, have the door open.
I'm coming in hot.
Coming in hot, like Maverick on Top Gun.
That is so mean. I can't believe we just told that publicly, but it's funny. So, yeah, we've had a
You didn't give her name, I don't think. So.
No, we didn't. But so April Fool's Day can be fun. It's, you know, it's not like I'm looking for something every year, but this year I just thought, we'll look for something. I was going through the potential things. Yes, there are the things we know about, you know, switching out the sugar for the salt and in so many different ways, putting saran wrap on the toilet, you know, that kind of stuff. All of that would require, you know, some inconvenience for me. But the cake pop thing, using a Brussels sprout in the middle, you got to cook that so that it's at the right consistency.
So that they can bite right
in. Oh, yeah, it's got to be soft because they won't eat if it's hard.
That's right. They'll just bite all the way into that and start chewing it before they even realize. And I think that's the best one I can think of at this point. Yeah. So that's
Brussels sprout, for those that don't eat them, they resemble little baby cabbages about the size of a large marble or maybe a golf ball, not quite that big.
Or cake pop.
But dipped in a little chocolate ganache, nobody will be able to tell that it's a Brussels sprout.
Now, a savvy kid will pick up on it and just lick the chocolate off the outside.
Once they realize, yes, but my grandkids are of an age where biting
they'll pop that whole thing in their mouth before they realize it.
Oh, Richard.
It's
Richard,
fun. Richard. It's all in good fun.
I'm sure glad the show isn't on Friday, on April Fool's Day, because who knows what he would do to me.
Oh. Yeah. I'll have to give that some thought.
Hot sauce on the earphones or something.
Yeah.
Who knows?
So we were, because we're kind of, everybody's, I think, going to be planning their summer right about now.
Mm-hmm.
We thought now would be a good time to talk about some of those things that you might want to think about before you plan and go visit family. You know, when we're trying to encourage people to be more involved in their health care and be active in that, but also look out for your parents and grandparents and be a little more engaged in what's going on with them. There are a couple of articles that we found that I think point out some good information to take and kind of adapt to for your own uses. In our industry and in wellness and healthcare, quality of life is a term that gets thrown around a lot. You know, it's always about quality of life, and that phrase just becomes kind of a catchphrase, and we don't necessarily consider that. And this article that talks about a couple of studies was really kind of interesting and eye-opening for me, because when it starts out with the quality of life phrase is a blanket term, and there's a flaw in that, and that is that there is no blanket answer for everybody. And in our area of expertise in palliative care, we have that same thing where people will use that word palliative, but what does it really mean for the individual? And that's where we try and focus, is making sure that the palliative care that we're talking about is the palliative care that's going to be effective. And so in talking about quality of life for our parents or for ourselves, we should really look at what that means. So this talks about it, and the study is kind of an interesting one. They said, well, how do we really determine what quality of life should be for seniors? And they said, well, we're just going to talk to seniors.
Well, and I think before you get too deep into it, this was really eye-opening for me, actually, because about 5 years ago when we were deciding to move here, we were kind of slowing down in business and focusing on spending more time with family and traveling. And then upon our arrival to take care of my dad, we discovered that there wasn't a palliative program here. So we immediately changed our gears and went into full speed mode again with opening a new business. Now, I think the reason why that stood out to me and was significant in my mind is, here, I'm in my 50s. Richard's in his 50s. You know, 5 years ago, I was nearing my 50s and thinking about slowing down. And so my goals and my quality of life was very, very different than what it ended up being 5 years later. And what we discovered in this is, if we're thinking about what is important to us in quality of life and trying to attribute that to our loved ones, our parents, our grandparents, of what we believe their quality of life to be, you might sorely miss it, and you might really be shocked with the difference. And I guess I didn't realize that for myself until I looked at what was happening in my life and what my goals were 5 years ago.
That's exactly the point of this, and that is that we can make decisions about what we think quality of life is, but we really need to look at what somebody else's position on that is. Here was an interesting part of this. They said, you know, they took a whole bunch of people, all adults at different ages, and they asked them questions, and they asked them to rank things in a particular order. You know, these are the things that are most important to me in order. And number one on the list was being able to feed oneself. Okay. Number two, getting enjoyment out of life. Number three, living without severe lasting pain. Number four, having long-term memory. Number five, feeling that what one does is worthwhile. Number six, being able to dress oneself. And number seven, having good short-term memory. Those were the things that they asked every adult at every age, and they ordered them in that range on average. But here's the important takeaway. Older people view all of those things as less important. So when we're talking about 75 and older, and I'm just using that number, but when older people, they were asked those same questions, and they had a totally different set of answers.
What was number one for them?
Being able to dress themselves.
Really?
Yeah. That was number one. All of the other things faded. And
well,
that sounds bad.
Those are things that we would just so take for granted.
Yeah. As a 50-something, I have some expectations, but I have to admit that my expectations as I approach 60 are different than they were as I approached 50, right?
Good point.
And so if I'm using my own perspective and I try and push that on somebody else, that may not be the right perspective. And so when we're looking at somebody who's maybe not living the fullest life that we can imagine they could live, we really have to consider whether our decisions would be the same as theirs. And the only way we can find out is by having conversation.
And in advance is better. I mean, we often come across this, and it was a big topic of discussion in our office this week. You know, we need to be sensitive to what our parents and grandparents feel are important quality of life issues today for them, mm-hmm. not for us. And sometimes when we're considering what is important for us, we forget to ask ourselves what their goals are. Right. And if we actually stop for a moment and ask ourselves, you know, who is my mom today? And what would her goals for a quality of life be? We might really look at things a little bit differently than what we're prescribing for them, what we're offering for them at the time.
Because we may have an expectation or a goal of, you know, some exciting life in a senior community where, you know, the landscaping is taken care of and you just go and play tennis or go and play bingo or go and, you know, play yeah. cards, whatever that is. But that may not be the goal for our parents. They may say, well, no, I really enjoy just being in my own home, that comfort of being home. And that's one of the things that we come across all the time.
And you know, I just want phone calls from my family or visits from my family, even if it's 5 minutes to swing by and say hi to grandma. Those are the things that are so, so important to some people.
Especially if something gets taken away from them. Yeah. Like you mentioned being able to dress yourself. If you have it, maybe you had a surgery and you can't dress yourself for 6 months, that all of a sudden goes from 5 or 6 on the list all the way up to 1 or 2 because you haven't been able to do it.
Yeah. It sure does. And if you're suffering with dementia or if you had a stroke or hydrocephalus, which is water on the brain, I mean, your perspective of what is important is so, so different after, you know, an event or a diagnosis like that than it was prior to that diagnosis. And I think sometimes, you know, it's important for us as family members to stop for a moment and consider, am I imposing my goals on my mom who can't express her desires, or am I asking myself, what would my mom's goals be?
Mm-hmm. So talk to people. Talk to your parents, grandparents. Find out, and not in an interrogative way, but just ask them what they're enjoying in
and
life.
And certainly that's, before it's an issue, when yeah. they can actually answer for themselves.
Yeah. And get an idea of what their long-term goals are. You know,
yeah.
And this study also pointed out that somebody, you know, who's in advanced age may be very satisfied with their past life. Their current life may not be as what they thought it might have been, and they look at their future life probably not being as good as it is now. That's the reality. But yeah. if they've got that reality, then help them make decisions that are best for them. So talk to your parents, grandparents, just have those stories and talk about it. And that kind of leads us into this next one. And that is that there are studies been done that talk about the healthcare benefits, or the health benefits of having seniors capture their own stories. And there were some interesting points in this. You know, it can be very therapeutic for somebody to write those stories down and express that. You know, they may not have been doing that. But I think we all know, as we sit with our parents or grandparents and they start telling stories, they get a lot of benefit out of that.
It's euphoric for them.
It is. And so helping them do that, while we're visiting with them, we should do that. But if you can figure out a way to kind of set them on a path where they can do more of that over time, so that it's not just for that 1 week that you're in town that they're going to do that, and then the other 51 weeks of the year, they're not.
And, I mean, that brings up a good point. You may actually plan it and put video cameras up or audio cameras up and have a family session where you start asking grandma and grandpa or mom and dad about their childhood, or for them to share stories about each of the kids, because having those stories with their voice behind it and their perspective will be so valuable to you after they're gone. But it can really just be, with technology where it is, that you're mm-hmm. sitting there and you recognize that dad's sharing a story, and just grab your phone real quick and throw the recorder on. It's amazing how important it is to grab those memories, not only for your loved one who has that opportunity to share those stories with you, but it'll be so important to you too. I know I've said this before. My dad, he'd get up every Saturday morning and tell the exact same stories. And boy, he'd start in the kitchen would clear, and I think he'd talk to himself. We'd show up an hour later, and he was still finishing his story. Didn't even notice we all scrammed. But it was so important to, you know, for him to tell all these childhood stories, and he just told them so many times. And that's probably the biggest thing I miss now. I wish I had those stories, and I don't remember them in the detail that he does. And I try and tell my kids about, you know, Grandpa and growing up on a farm and his childhood and what it was like. And I get lost in the story, and I think, I never thought I would forget those stories, but you do.
Right. So if you can get those copied down, and there's a number of options, certainly for somebody who is willing and wanting to write, have them write. That's great, you know, whether that's journaling or just those stories. If they don't tend to do that, and you can get them to do videotapes, and I would say that, you know, if we're trying to extend this beyond just, you know, our one-week visit or three-day visit, if we just set up a time, let's say it was every Tuesday at 6 o'clock, or you pick the day, and you just FaceTimed or duoed them and recorded that, and it was ask them a question, get them to tell you a story, and it's 30 minutes, and have the family around to do that, they will be engaged with your family year-round. And that's not a big commitment, 30 minutes a week.
And happiness contributes to their quality of life. And they are so happy when they're talking about the things that they like. As, you know, humans, we really do like to talk about ourselves. And I know that's something that is hard to admit, but it's true. We like to talk about our stories and about what made us who we are. And we do learn from our loved ones, our, you know, older parents, grandparents. So bring them happiness. Allow them to have that happiness and joy by sharing with you.
Now, another part of this study that was kind of interesting, they said, but these stories can also have a more tangible impact. Even if you write about parts of your life that you have never told anyone because they were unhappy or painful memories, revisiting those memories can show others the strength it takes to overcome life's barriers when they face their own problems. And I think that was kind of an eye-opening thing. I mean, we all like to tell those fun stories about family, but everybody's had hard times in their life.
Mm, yes.
And if we can share those hard times, then we get the satisfaction of course, connecting with people in a way that we haven't connected in the past.
Understanding them.
But knowing that we are helping somebody else realize that we can overcome those hard times, being that example. And I think every senior family member would like to be an example of, you know, good. And so open that conversation up too, you know, talk about the things that might have been harder. Maybe, you know, there was a time when the family had nothing and it was a struggle. And we've talked to some people and they have great stories about a family that, you know, kind of settled the Burl area, you know, and have become quite successful. I mean, they were destitute farmers, but they got some success. But the hard times helped, I guess, frame the reward of that. And so it's important to get that part of the story out there too. So if you're looking at being, you know, trying to get this started, here are some things that we would suggest. Prompting your senior's memories, using cues and photos. I mean, just pull out the photo book and start asking questions. Have your camera available and film at any angle, right? It doesn't matter. You don't have to set this up with lights and everything else. Just get the voice on. That's going to be significantly more important than the image. If you can, you may have some songs that you've sang as a family or that they particularly enjoyed, or you can ask, and songs are a big issue, or maybe it's a taste or smell. I mean, if you go into the kitchen and make, you know, snickerdoodles, maybe that smell's going to cause something. Do what you can to encourage them to get started.
I do love that you said music, because music will take you right back to mm-hmm. a specific time and place, right? Memories come flowing when we hear a song from our childhood, and the warm fuzzy that you get, or it immediately turns you to laughter, because music has a way of moving us.
Yeah, and that's, I think this is an important thing. And we're going to be talking about that, how music can be important even in dementia patients. But just one last thing for this. Don't worry about getting a story from the beginning to the end. That's not going to be important. However the story is told is the best way that it can be presented. So if you can get those stories in just a collection, of 5-minute snippets that people can listen to in any order. You can reorganize them at another time.
Right. Sooner is probably better, but even if you think that your loved one is going to struggle with their words or with completing their stories, you'd be surprised. Seniors are suffering from loneliness. It's amazing what they can recall if given the opportunity to speak about themselves and to share stories and of their past.
Right. And so that kind of leads us into this next topic, and that is the power of music therapy for people with some level of dementia. Okay. It is incredible how powerful that can be. And when we're talking about dementia, dementia is a spectrum. There is, you know, where we start losing memories and where we can't, you know, at the other end, we can't even express ourselves. And interestingly, music has an effect at every level. So if we can use music as a way to get people to calm down and to focus their mind, the beat of the music helps create a rhythm in people's minds so that they can continue conversations better. It may be amazing to you to find that out. It's going to be important to find out what music appeals to your parents or grandparents. If you know, that's great. If you don't, you know, Kaylee's dad hated Elvis because her mom loved Elvis. I think that was just
my mom used to say, you know, if he ever came and made me an offer, I'd be gone. You know, that he's that one person that I'd leave you for. It was a joke. She liked to poke him for, you know, jealousy. Like, you know, he's the one person I'd have to leave you for.
But Kaylee's dad loved songs by Red Sovine. I don't know if you know who that is.
Red Sovine.
Sovine. I think.
Yeah. They
told
were stories.
Stories and
it,
music.
It was storytelling music, you know, about truckers and about, you know, all kinds of things. And
Little Teddy Bear and Rosa was her name.
kind of the same time
as Kenny Rogers type.
Even older, but
The older version of The Gambler, kind of stuff. And so he loved that kind of music and Western, old-style Western music. And so that was what he loved. And putting together a list of those, a playlist that he could just turn on was really stress-relieving for him.
Oh, yes.
You know, things he hadn't heard for a long time. Oh, he'd get lost. He'd cry. And so if you can do that, if you can come up with those things and help people deal with that, but at the other end of dementia where they can't even communicate, you may be surprised at how music allows them to, relieve their frustration in not being able to communicate because we are sharing this common event. We are both listening to this and I know that you are feeling the same thing I'm feeling. And that brings us closer together and creates those bonds. And so using music in that case is going to be really powerful. So this summer, as you're making these plans to visit family, and if you weren't, I hope you do, look for ways to kind of build those connections and use the tools that are available to make life much more enjoyable, raise that quality of life, that's the term, quality of life, in a way that is most appropriate for the person whose life you're trying to raise. Not based upon your own decisions, but based upon what they think is best for them. And just be open, engaged, and look for ways to extend this out over long term instead of short term.
And I don't think we realize just how important this is. And it goes both ways, right? Like, if you are a younger audience member listening to this, these are ideas or thoughts that you can put together so that when you visit with your grandma, it's not as hard. Sometimes, you know, my own kids are like, I don't know what to say. It's so awkward. But if you have a plan of what you're going to do and questions you're going to ask about their past, it will be a much more enjoyable visit. And if you're the elderly, if you are the grandparent, knowing of some things that you want to share with your loved one will, you know, help move the story along and help your loved ones want to come visit more.
Right. And one last thing that we don't have a lot of time for, but I know that when I go into somebody's home, a lot of times the house is extremely warm and it's almost uncomfortable. And want you to know that as we age, our ability to regulate our own body temperature starts to drop. And so if you are dealing with somebody, if you go and their house is really hot, don't ask them to turn the temperature down unless you adjust, because Because here's the deal. Hypothermia is what we consider, you know, when you fall into a freezing river and can't get changed.
But for seniors, that can affect somebody
at 70 degrees as seniors. Yeah. So it's been good. Our telephone number, 435-477-6999. Give us a call. We'll answer more of these questions.